This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 23. What does that mean? How does it apply to my life? If it even does, that's what we'll explore today. Welcome to our Sunday service. Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known and beloved passages in the Bible. It's attributed to King David. It's a psalm of trust and of comfort that demonstrates God's love and care for us through the imagery of a shepherd and his sheep. So to break this down, a couple of parts of it, because I think it's really, really important. Start with, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, this tells us that God's protection extends in good times, in the bad times, even in the presence of danger and adversity. The idea and the image of setting a table signifies God's hospitality for us and his care for us, and placing God as the ultimate host and ensuring that all of our needs are met. So it's the ultimate host who's given us everything that we could possibly need, regardless of the circumstances. And God's care is given to us freely and openly, again, regardless of what's going on. In ancient times, to eat at somebody's table that was emblematic of friendship and protection and honor, hospitality. So when the psalm says that even when enemies are near, God provides not just sustenance, but a public display of favor. And the final part of the psalm says, my cup overflows. And the cup symbolizes abundance, joy, satisfaction. Again, in ancient context, to have a full cup meant you had everything that you need. So when the psalm says, my cup overflows, it's going way beyond just sufficiency. It is speaking to overwhelming abundance and blessings. It suggests that you and I have not just enough, but we have more than enough. And it also is speaking to the idea of spiritual fullness, that we are so enriched by God's goodness that our cups overflow into all other aspects of our lives. So it's not just the physical world, material abundance, but it's also having peace of mind. It's having emotional stability and mental stability and fortitude and spiritual satisfaction. So you can look at all of it as a metaphor for our journey through life, where God is our shepherd, guiding and providing protection for us. It's trusting in God that he will give us everything that we need. It's all symbolized by the cup overflowing. So, modern times, deeper interpretation of it, is that we're not just seeking satisfaction in a worldly sense, but also from a divine sense, that we're all looking for overflowing abundance. And don't we have that today? Don't we have overflowing abundance? Imagine if somebody from those ancient times were to look into your living room last night, to look into your kitchen last night, to go into your pantry right now, to open your refrigerator right now, to look at your bank account today. Even if you had $100, if you had some cans of soup, whatever, a loaf of bread, they would have been amazed. They would have been amazed at the abundance that we have. So even the people that we consider to be struggling, and I'm not saying that we don't and that they're not. Certainly many people out there are struggling with things that I have no idea about. But for the average American, we live in absolute abundance. We have more than enough. And it's a blessing. It's amazing. And like everything else, there's a flip side. It's a challenge. When our needs are met, when I've got what I need, I've got food and clothing and shelter, we have idle hands all of a sudden. Don't know what to do with my hands. I've got open space. I've got head space. I've got free time. I don't have to worry about where is my next meal coming from. I don't have to worry about bands of marauding people coming to steal all my stuff. We have free time. We have these things. And with these new things, new problems appear. New challenges appear. You know, we're manufacturing them in a lot of ways. We are coming up with new ways to try and fill our cups. We look past the abundance that we have, that God has provided to us, and look for new fights. There's this wonderful story about St. George in retirement. And St. George was the famous dragon slayer. And so St. George, as this story goes, went around and became extremely famous for slaying all the dragons. And when all the dragons were slain, he started looking for other dragons to slay. Still had his sword. Still has the ability and the desire to slay dragons. It's what he does, except there's no more. So now we have to manufacture new dragons. And we, as human beings, have a problem with abundance. We start looking for problems where no problems exist. We start manufacturing problems when we don't need to manufacture any new problems. And this St. George analogy or metaphor pops up in so many different aspects of our lives. And you know what I'm talking about. You can simply look around the things that we are focused most on in our culture today. And you're like, wow, these are, talk about privilege. What a privilege to be considering and viewing these as existential problems. We have and decided to fill our cups with new forms of religion or new forms of zealotry or obsessions. It's all over the place. And when we have a desire, we're walking around with our cup out, looking for somebody to fill it up. Well, believe it or not, there are plenty of people who will gladly pour into our cups. We have an unlimited number of ways to satiate and to fill our cups through social media and screen time and the internet, gaming, gambling, literally the abundance of processed foods on every corner, every street in the United States of America, even gas stations have, I almost said high quality food, but that wasn't what I meant. You understand what I'm saying? There's delicious things to shove into our mouths everywhere we look. And we're all indulging. And I'm by no means immune to any of this. I'm by no means above this fray. I fall into the traps. I've got my cup out too. And I'm interested in having people pour into it. I'm interested in experiencing new things. But these obsessions over politics and everything else I've been naming off, they're making us crazy. While they may be pouring liquid into our cups, they are by no means filling them up. I think that they have a corrosive effect on our cups, for lack of a better term, in that as we fill them up, as we pour into them, they're destroying the actual vessel itself. They are eroding the lining of it. They are damaging the integrity of our cups. And in the context of this, us, our brains, our ability to function and process information, our ability to suss out what is of value and what is not of value. And that's obviously a very, very dangerous thing. Have you ever asked yourself, at what cost is this happening? At what cost am I doing this? At what cost am I engaging in this activity, in this line of thinking, in this whatever it is? At what cost do we focus on one thing over another? And that's the question. At what cost? When we're filling our cups with one thing, what's the cost of that? And I think that we all know that it's massive, because our cups aren't big enough to fill them up with everything. That is, I suppose, a feature of human beings, is that I can't do everything. And I think and talk a lot about this comes down to hierarchies and priorities of the things that are most important to us, because I can't be on social media for 4 hours a day. I can't watch Netflix for 4 hours a day. I can't spend 4 hours a day with my kids. I can't spend 4 hours a day with my family. I can't spend 4 hours a day exercising. I can't. The list of things that I want to be filling my cup up with, it can't be everything. It just can't be. So at what cost? When I put down the encyclopedia in favor of People magazine, what's the cost to me? When I choose Doritos over anything else, what's the cost to me? When I choose comfort over discomfort, what's the cost to me? And the answer is, it's massive. You know what I'm getting at. I'm not saying that life or this choice-making, decision-making process is a game of perfect. I don't want you to be perfect. I am not a monk. I've taken no vow of poverty. I am not a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination. I am a regular person by every measure. So it's not a game of perfect. I'm not trying to be perfect. It's a game of better. I'm trying to get better. It's a game of recognizing what it is that we're doing. It's easy to just get caught up in the current, to be carried along by the currents of life. It's easy to be complacent and to be trapped in comfort, in normal, in the usual. And time passes. And when we're not careful, a lot of time passes. And what we've been filling our cup with, it's like, why in the world was I doing this? Why have I spent so much time doing these things? It's understanding that when I say yes to one thing, I'm saying no to everything else. That is a stark reality. When I say yes to this thing, I'm saying no to everything else. We only have so many resources. Our most valuable resources of time, energy, attention, and money. When I allocate them to one thing, I'm saying no to everything else. We have to say yes to some things, for sure. I have to say yes. It's just a matter of, what do I want to fill my cup up with? What is the right thing for me to be filling my cup up with at this time? It's a really profound thing. It's okay to read social media. It's okay to look at social media. It's okay to read People magazine. It's okay to keep up on politics. But it's not okay to do those things exclusively and to do them in place of more beneficial things. Think about this. What if you had made the decision to read 10 pages a day 10 years ago? Would you be glad that you'd made that decision, or would you be upset? I'm sure you'd be glad. I'm sure you would. Think about the learning that you've done, the amount of books that you've read. My goodness, you would be glad. What if you had started 10 years ago, you started every day with a walk. Get outside, move your body. Would you be glad, or would you be upset by that? Each of us has to make our own decisions, and then we have to live with our own decisions. And each of us, I advocate, submit that we have to use our past choices to make better future choices. You think about all of us have regret, or were, I don't know if regret is the right term. Each of us has regret over past actions and experiences. I shouldn't have done that. I really wish I would have done this differently. That's fine. It's okay. Feel the way that you feel. Feel that regret. Just allow it to shape your future in the way that you want it to. Take those feelings and use them to make better decisions moving forward on how it is that you're choosing to fill your cup. Use your past choices to make better future choices. You tell me how you're spending your time, your attention, your energy, and money today, and I will tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt where you will be 10 years from now. Let's look at 3 years. 10 years is a lot. Let's look at 3 years. You start making better choices today. You figure out what's of greatest value to you, what's of greatest importance. You start making more active decisions on this is how I'm going to fill my cup. For the next 3 years, I'm really going to focus on filling my cup with these things over those things. You do that, you execute on your plan, you win the next 3 years. What you've done is you're creating a virtuous cycle. You're showing yourself that you can make good choices. You're showing yourself you're capable of pursuing discomfort over simply being safe and comfortable doing the same thing that you've always done. Even better is that you'll probably win the 3 years after that. You probably have created wonderful habits and routines and rituals of success in your life. You'll be a happy, healthier, more productive, more satisfied person. You'll do it 3 years after that, 3 years after that, 3 years after that. You get the idea. You'll become a much better person. You get to choose. You have choice. You have agency. We make good decisions. Make good decisions about how it is that you are choosing to fill your cup. And again, People Magazine's okay every once in a while. Do your part by doing your best.